will be a long journey. When we went to seminary in Boston, there was a story I heard, I don't know how many times, probably a dozen times I heard about, there's a church called Park Street Church. It's an old church in Boston. And one of our graduates from our seminary was the pastor there. And he spent 3 years going through the Gospel of John. And if you were to seriously exhaust the ideas of John, it would take maybe even longer. We're not going to do that because I have a hard time staying in one book that long. But we are going to begin a journey through the Gospel of John. John's Gospel, if I was, you know, and it's a bad thing to say this way maybe, but if I only had one Gospel, if there was only one, you know, Gospel I could have, John's Gospel would probably be the one I would want, because he doesn't leave a lot of room to guess what Jesus' purpose was. And we see that right in the beginning, that he begins, and all Gospels reveal Christ. They all try to show us who Jesus is. But John begins straight away by explaining to us his nature, his power, his authority, and really the result of his work. Right in the first section of chapter 1. And it's there to reassure us as much as it is to call people to Christ. It's there to reassure us. And I hope as we go through these words that we will understand better our Savior, who he is, and that we'll be affirmed in our faith, that we will be, you know, more just concretely standing in the name of Jesus for our salvation and our hope. I actually, this is one of the things we seminarians love about the Gospel of John, if we stick with our Greek at all. It's one of the few books that you can fairly easily read in Greek. In our Kane, hologos. Hologos hein pros ton theon, kai theos hein hologos. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning, and through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines into the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. Obviously, John begins by mirroring the first words of Genesis. In the beginning, God created. Here, in the beginning was the Word, Logos. That's the name that for the first generations of the church, when they wanted to define the nature and person of Jesus, they would talk about him as Logos. Because of this text. This text obviously puts Jesus in eternity. Again, in the beginning, God. You know, whenever you're opening your Bible of Genesis 1 and you're going to talk about creation, it wasn't in the beginning God came or God existed. God existed before then, right? And the same thing here. In the beginning was the Word. In other words, he was already there. It didn't say, in the beginning, God created the Word, or the Word became. But no, he was with God, because he is, as this text shows us many times over, that he is God. Okay? The idea of the Word being with God, there are certain prepositions used in Greek that this puts Jesus as close to God as you can get, as close to the Father, let's say, as you can get. And again, that becomes very clear. It also, right at the beginning, says that Jesus is the creator of everything. Colossians makes that also very clear, that nothing exists apart from Jesus Christ. There is no part of creation that Jesus was not, you know, in participation with the Father in bringing creation about. Jesus is as much creator as God the Father is creator. Okay, Jesus is being revealed as God's love, his gracious gift to us, that Jesus came to give us eternal life. It says that in him was life. God alone possesses life, the ability to call things into existence. That's what, you know, we think of life as our little pitiful, you know, thing that goes away in a few years. Some of us fewer than others, right? But what God, the existence of life in God is quite different than the existence. For us, it feels temporary. For us, it feels small. To God, it's enormous and it's powerful. And it gives God the ability to speak universes into existence, to create the little amoebas that are in the water and the birds that fill the air and the fish in the sea and us. It makes us a living soul, a living nefesh, suke, by his word, by his power, by the life that is in God. He gives us life. He says, so Jesus also possessed life. Jesus is the one that possesses life. So here you have this great definition of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, who is, you know, God, who is with God, who is creator God, who is filled with life, and that life was the light of men. One of the things that John is pointing out here is the revelation of God through Jesus Christ, the revelation of Christ himself to us as the Savior of the world, and that revelation is like light. It shines out into the dark spaces, but not everybody recognizes or receives it. And that's the tragedy we'll get to a little bit later. So he says this in the next section. He says, in him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines into darkness, but the darkness didn't understand it. You think about, again, the darkness that's in the world, that Jesus, you know, describes darkness, spiritual darkness, as a blind person. He says, if your eyes are good, you fill your whole body with light. You see things. You understand things that are, you know, out there, right? But if your eyes are blind, if you can't see, then the darkness goes through the whole being. And Jesus uses that analogy to talk about spiritual blindness. He says, some people understand. Those who have ears can hear. Those who have eyes can see, is what he's, you know, he uses those analogies to talk about either the darkness of spiritual, you know, just inability to understand God, to receive God, to recognize God. You know, Paul uses the same thing in Ephesians 4. He talks about the darkened mind of the pagan. He says, you know, basically, again, it's this idea of the inability to comprehend God, the inability to recognize him when he approaches, when he speaks, the inability to recognize his word, his spirit, his power, even to go as far as to, you know, turn against him, right? Jesus is the opposite of that darkness. He is the light. He, when he speaks, when he works, when he lived his life before humanity, he showed us God. He was the revelation of God, the word of God. And he was showing people who God is, the perfect image, the perfect understanding of God. He communicates God in everything that he was and everything that he did. You know, his actions, the way he talked to people. Sometimes he was hard on people. Sometimes he was very, very gracious to people. The works that he did, the healing, the miracles, the calming of storms and casting out of demons, his ability and authority and power, right? He communicates God ultimately through the sacrifice, showing God's love, God's justice, and God's mercy, right? He is the light, but the world didn't recognize it. The world didn't understand it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light, but came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world, that was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world didn't recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. This is an astonishing statement about witnessing to Jesus. witnessing about Jesus. And every preacher, every teacher should look at John as the example. John wasn't about John. John wasn't about building a kingdom for John. John was about Jesus. You know, whatever John was, Jesus was his glory. It wasn't John. There was no glory in John. And even the way he dressed showed, you know, I'm wearing camel hair, you know, nasty old skins and eating bugs and living out under trees, you know. There was nothing about John that would make people want to, you know, bow to him or put him up. But John made sure that people knew that Jesus Christ was his glory. John made sure that they understood his mission. His mission was not to point to John, but to point to Jesus. And very literally, he does that. When Jesus comes, he says, there is the Lamb of God, right? And he tells him, he says, you know, basically he was the last Old Testament prophet, and he was there to point out the Messiah. And he said, I'm not even worthy to untie his sandals. I'm not worthy to get down on his feet, right? That's how John is. And man, we need to understand that whatever we have, whatever part of salvation we have, whatever part of the gospel we have, whatever, you know, mission God has given us or commission God has given us, it is not about us. It is about Jesus and Jesus only. And so John was a witness to the light. And he made sure people knew he was not the light, you know. And just think about the difference. Think about the difference. You know, we've been talking about in Galatians the idea of across the street Sunday school, 10 o'clock in the morning. Galatians, the idea of supplanting the gospel for some other gospel, right? Supplanting the gospel for some other gospel. Taking the light and calling something else the light that isn't the light. How dangerous is that? How dangerous is it that you attach people's hearts and hopes to something that isn't really light, that isn't really going to do anything for them because it has no power, it has no real authority. It is not Christ. The only thing that can do anything for us, as we'll see, is the true light. It is the life that is in Christ. It's the authority and power that is in Christ. Jesus is our Savior. Jesus is the one that died for our sins. Jesus is the one that made us pure and right and holy. Jesus is the one that gives us eternal life. And as at best, a preacher, a teacher can point to Jesus. At worst, we start to point to ourselves to make ourselves more than what God ever intended us to be. Here is John. John was sent on a very special mission. I mean, he's talked about in Isaiah. We'll see that. He's talked about in Isaiah. Isaiah prophesied about John coming as that voice that will be calling from the wilderness, right? I mean, this was an anointed, appointed preacher from birth. I mean, his birth was foretold, and he leaped in the womb when Mary came expecting Jesus. You know, he was anointed by God and called by God as much as any man's ever been anointed and called by God, and he dare not testify that he was anything other than one who points to the true light. And let me tell you, there's no preacher on the face of the earth right now that is any better than John, if you know what I'm saying. And the best we can do, is direct your heart towards Jesus, is to point out, there's the Lamb of God. There's the one who saves your life. There's the one who gives, again, eternal life. So he pointed out the light. He swore, I'm not the light. This, though, is the other harsh reality about, again, what John is doing. He's laying out the person of Jesus Christ. You know, who is Jesus? Jesus is creator. He is eternal God. He is the full of life. Right? This is who Jesus is. And he's the light for the world. In other words, it's him that brings understanding about God. It's him that brings about salvation. And he says he was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world didn't know him. The word recognize, but know, did not from ignosis to know. They didn't know him. That's a tragic thing. That's a tragic thing. I mean, we've all seen this. We know, I pray that we know who Jesus is. I pray that the light of God has woke our hearts and opened our eyes and that we understand who God is. I pray that we know Him. But we also understand a world that doesn't see Him, doesn't recognize Him, become ashamed of His gospel, of His name, of His people and everything else, right? The world didn't recognize Him. Again, think about this. I do these little images for us, the idea of Jesus coming from the sphere of light of heaven, of the kingdom of God, leaving the heavenly court, the angels that praised Him and the Father endlessly, and leaving that space of light to come into a world that was described as darkness, and that the darkness couldn't understand because He's from that other realm. One of the things that should also kind of stand out in this is if we know, if we do know, that is a gift from God. That if we know, if we recognize Jesus, if we are calling on the name of Jesus, believing and trusting, that is a gift of God because not everybody knows. He says, you know, He came to that which was His own, meaning the Jewish people. And His own did not receive Him. The idea of this is the word to receive in this case means like to bring close to you, to bring into fellowship. You know, and again, John in you know, 1 John, he talks about that. He says, you know, we're writing you about what we've seen and heard, what we've touched, what you know, talking about the person of Jesus, that we might have fellowship with Him. That we might have fellowship with Him and with the Father and with one another, right? That the idea, that's what it means to receive Jesus. It doesn't mean to agree that He was a good carpenter or a good teacher or a good person. It means to receive Jesus Christ. I agree with everything the Scripture says about Him, and I want to be in His home. I want to be His brother. I want to be in His family. I want, you know, arm in arm, you know, probably way down the line of endless cousins, but somewhere in the line, I want to be there in fellowship with Jesus, you know, because, and that's what he says, His own couldn't do that. They didn't want to be in fellowship with Him. They didn't know Him. They didn't want to be in fellowship. This is the hard thing, you know. One of the problems with that is, do you realize it's only when we know and it's only when we're in fellowship with Jesus that we understand the will of God, the purposes of God, that we understand why God made us and what is our ultimate destiny? But, you know, what is our hope? What is our, you know, what is our life about? What is our purpose? What is the will of God? What's the truth about God? We don't know any of that unless we're in this relationship with Jesus Christ. It's only Jesus that shines the light of God into our lives and tells us and explains to us the will and purposes of God. And if you're separated from that, if you're in the darkness, you can't know. You can't know who God is. You can't know what good and bad is. You can't know what the purpose of humanity is. You can't understand anything. You know, it's the beginning of wisdom is to acknowledge God, right? The fool says in his heart, there is no God. It's the same idea. Not being able to recognize Jesus has terrible consequences to it because it means that you're separated from God's will and His purposes, and therefore you can't please God at all. Oh, praise God that we're not there, yeah? Yeah. Yet to all who receive Him, to those who will say, you know, right, I want to be in fellowship with Jesus. I want to be in the light. I want His light through me. I want to get rid of any spot of darkness, right? I want Jesus, you know. Jesus, eternal God, creator, full of life. I want You in my life. Yet to all who receive Him, those who believe in His name, what did John call Him? Eternal, creator, full of life, God. God. I believe it. That's His name. His name isn't just Jesus. See, that's, you know, that's a name tells who you are. That's a name identifies, right? You know, He is eternal, creator, God, full of life. those who believe in his name, he gives them authority to become the children of God. Children born not of natural descent nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. Here is God's purpose. Here is God's will. God wants to restore us to sonship. God wants to take what was broken from the fall. The reason why people don't see God is because they're fallen. They're in that darkness of sin. And they love the ways of sin rather than the ways of God. And they've fallen so far away from God, they can't recognize God. They can't know God. They don't want to be in fellowship with him. But for those of us who believe in him, for those of us when we hear about Jesus and know about Jesus and know his name, he's not just Jesus. I love the name Jesus, but I have a lot of things that I use to define that name. Right? And one of them is he's God. One of them is he's creator. One of them is that he's full of life. He's full of love. He's full of obedience. There's so much that goes in the name of Jesus, and we believe in that name. And I believe that Jesus, by his death and resurrection, has authority to give us life. He has authority to restore what was broken in the fall. What broke in the fall when man rebelled against God. When humanity rebelled against God, what was lost was our father-child relationship with God. Jesus came to restore that relationship. And it's only through Jesus that that relationship can be restored. It's only through Jesus. Only through Jesus. But when we are in Jesus, we become restored in the sense of at least understanding God's purpose, his plan for us. What does he want us to be? He wants us to be his children. What does he want us to think like? He wants to think like our father, like all fathers want their children to somehow think like them. Tragically, sometimes that happens, right? No, I mean, seriously, you know? The kids that have fathers that go to prison, kids think prison's just fine. That's a sad deal, right? Our Father, our Heavenly Father, our God, our Father has such a high and lofty call for us. He has a high and lofty purpose for us. This lost with sin, restored with Jesus Christ. To bring us back into that relationship, the restoration of sonship. I'm just going to do this as the last part. It's just about the witness to all this. This is what, again, what does the gospel do? A gospel testifies about Jesus. I mean, in any gospel, in the first 14 verses, do you get any sense? I mean, he's not talking about stars. He's not talking about babies being born. He's not talking about no room at the end. He takes you right up to the heavenly court and says, here he is. This is the Messiah. This is the Lord. This is your Savior. Right? You got to respect John. He says, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. This, just like John, 1 John 1, right? What is he starts out, that which we have touched, that which our eyes have seen, that we've handled, that we know. Jesus. The same thing. He's saying, he's speaking first person. I saw, we saw. We saw, the apostles saw. We're not talking about something we heard. We're talking about what we saw. We're talking about the person that we lived with, that we ate with. We heard him teach. We saw his miracles. We lived with this guy and got to know him. Okay? So the witness of the apostle, you know? And then the witness of the prophet right after that. He says, John testifies concerning him. He cries out saying, this is the one whom I said, he who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me. From the fullness of his grace, we all have received one blessing after another. It should be one grace upon grace. We have received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one. Okay, so you have John the Baptist, his testimony about Jesus. That Jesus, you know, and then this is what he said. He says, no one has ever seen God but God, the one and only. And actually it is but the only begotten God It literally says the only begotten God. Yeah, as you know, someone wants to make some created being out of that, good luck. The only begotten God, that's who he is. Okay, Jesus, right? He said, no one has ever seen God except for the only begotten God, right? The one, and what's he talking about? The incarnation of God in Jesus Christ. So, you know, who has seen the Father? Who understands the Father? Jesus, the one who was with him before he became a human, right? Human God, right? One who is at the Father's side, who made him known. Now, this was John's testimony when the Jews of Jerusalem sit priests at. So you have, you know, John and the apostolic witness talking about the glory of God that they saw in Jesus Christ. You have John the Baptist testifying about the eternal God who was the only begotten God. And you know, that he knew God like no one else knows God. You have this revelation that is certain. It is heavenly. It is prophetic. It is Jesus who brings grace instead of judgment. He says, he's not like the law. He doesn't bring condemnation, but grace upon grace. The work of Jesus Christ is grace. We'll hear a lot more about that as the Gospel of John goes on. Again, the law brought death. Jesus brought life. So here it is. How did John show us Jesus in these first verses? First of all, he gives us a name for Jesus. Eternal God, Creator, full of life. I mean, when you think of Jesus, think of that. You know, and again, you know, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. Everything that was created was made by him. Nothing that exists came apart from him, right? You know, he is eternal God. In the beginning was Jesus, the Word, right? Eternal God, Creator, full of life. He gives believers authority to be restored to the status of sons. He restores us, our faith in Jesus Christ, because Jesus has the authority. He restores us to the authority, as the word is used, the authority to be restored. It is obviously for those who receive the witness and believe. Those who are in darkness, it's a tragic story because they're still in darkness. But those who recognize the light, those who believe in him, they're the ones that are restored. And all of this comes to us from a witness that's absolutely certain. Why John saying, I was there, I saw it. Jesus, you know, it came from heaven. It's you know, Jesus himself is a witness to himself. And John the Baptist, the prophetic witness. All of this witness is given to us. Why? Why is the gospel there? Why does the gospel come to us? Very simply, so we'll believe. So we will believe. Believe in the pastor? No. Believe in the church? No. Believe in Jesus. Believe in Jesus, God eternal, creator, the possessor of life, the one who has authority to restore our place as sons of God. Jesus, and only Jesus. As we come around the Lord's table, that, you know, is what should be in our heart, Jesus. It is Jesus who died for our sins, rose for our righteousness. It is Jesus who restores us to that place. And apart from him, there's no other place.